There was a young couple engaged to be married. They were no doubt excited about their future together. I'm sure, like most young couples engaged, they had great, thrilling plans. But then it was discovered that she was with child. This was a shock to them. This wasn't the way that they had planned their future. And being a godly, moral people, they were in a quandary. What are we going to do? One of their greatest concerns was how they would be looked upon by others. They feared the public disgrace of conceiving a child out of wedlock. Many in our world would suggest the following solution. Well, just abort the baby. And many have followed this counsel. Every year in the United States of America, more than 1 million children are intentionally aborted. Since 1973, when the Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand, over 49.5 million babies have been aborted. I don't enjoy speaking about this topic. I don't enjoy speaking about a lot of the moral problems that we experience in our nation. But I feel that this is a time, as any time, that we as God's people need to seek God's view of these things and to take a stand where God's word has taught. An abortion is a divisive issue in our nation. And we could spend a lot of time speaking on this issue alone and how bad it is. But I want to direct your minds to an even deeper issue that's behind the practice of abortion, that would be behind the practice of euthanasia, so many of the moral issues that we face. That deeper issue is life sacred? Is life sacred? Are human beings the unique creation of God? Is human life sacred? Some researchers and ethicists argue that the developing embryo in a mother's womb is merely a glob of tissue and of no more value than the embryo of a guppy. And modern secularists have built their view of humanity on the foundation of their own unaided human reason and have little reason to regard human life as unique, sacred, and valuable. But I hope that we all want to know and want to answer this question from a biblical perspective and seek the answer to this question in light of this presenting problem. What does God say? What does God say? What does the Lord, the giver and creator of life, have to say about the value of human life? What does God say through His word, the Bible? Two major points this morning. The first one is the sanctity of human life is rooted and grounded in the Creator Himself. In Zechariah 12, verse 1, we find these words: "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and notice, forms the spirit of man within him." It speaks of God's creative power, how the Lord stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, but also forms the spirit of man within him. God is the giver of life, and that should make human life sacred alone. God is responsible for implanting the human spirit within the human body. And there's so many biblical texts that affirm that humans are the special creation of God. And I want to highlight just a few this morning. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And it's only said of mankind, of humanity, that human beings were created in the image of God. that we bear His likeness in ways. David, the youthful shepherd, gazed into the starry sky. He was overwhelmed at the expanse of the heavens. And when he thought about the vast universe and how and humanity's place in it, he wondered why God would even care about humanity. And he wrote these words: "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit or care for him? You have made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." David answers the question. Why is it that God is so concerned about us, about humanity? Because He created us with value. He created us special creatures of all creation that bear His image. He crowned us with glory and honor. And so the biblical revelation everywhere teaches that human life is sacred and has been invested with special worth by the Creator. That's why it's wrong to kill human beings unjustly. Not only does abortion violate the sanctity of human life, so does euthanasia and the like. Only God Himself, or those appointed by God Himself, Romans 13, have the authority to end human life. But there's another question. At what point in time does God invest human life with its uniqueness and sanctity? When does human life become sacred? And many debate that question. But I see from Scripture the following: human life is sacred from the moment of conception. Again, a biblical worldview correctly informs science. Even the tools of high technology of medicine and science make it impossible to deny that the baby in the womb is a unique human being from conception. Each individual baby has his or own genetic code. The heart begins to beat at its own rate in the first month of pregnancy. The baby may have a different blood type than the mother. Everything we know about genetics and embryology points to the fact that the fetus is a developing human being, not a guppy, not a glob of tissue. Only a biblical view of human life makes sense of what we observe. But what does the Scripture say? What does God say about the beginnings of individual human life? Again, quoting David, the psalmist, Psalm 139. He says, "For you, speaking of God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And he's speaking of his development as a human being in the womb of his mother. I couldn't help but notice the pronouns me and my and I. And he speaks of personhood, of the baby, unborn baby. Even David would refer to himself as a person. He insisted that his development as a human being, his personhood, was achieved by God even prior to his birth, while he was yet in his mother's womb. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, notice what God says. "Before I formed you in the womb," speaking of Jeremiah, "I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And certainly, God has in mind here how Jeremiah had a special mission, how he would be a prophet. But in the language here, it shows that God treats people as human beings even before they are born. These passages show that a preborn infant is a person, is a human being. Let's go to the book of Luke, where it's recorded about the visit that Mary, the mother of Jesus, made to Elizabeth, a relative of hers, the mother of John the Baptizer. And notice the wording that's used here, Luke 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, notice that statement, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Here we see that Elizabeth's preborn baby, John, is being represented as a living human being. And the word that's used here for the babe, the Greek word brephos, is used in other passages to refer to babies after they've been born. Even Jesus himself. Luke 2 verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, same word, lying in a manger. The same word is used to refer to a young child, a newborn infant, or to an unborn fetus. The scriptures recognize, God recognizes a baby in the womb of his or her mother is a person, is a human being. The God who has invested human life with special value and sacred worth is the God who frames and fashions human babies in the womb. Human babies don't become human at some variable point in their development. They are conceived human. As humans created in the image of God, they possess the unique sacredness God invests in all human life. And that's what makes these statistics of over a million human babies made in God's image aborted over the last several years, since 1973. What is the Christian response? What are we to do in light of God's teaching about the value of human life that begins at conception? How are we to respond? Number one, we need to defend the helpless. The Bible teaches us to support and uphold the weak. And who is more weak than the innocent unborn child? Who is more helpless than unborn babies unable to defend themselves? We need to do all that we can to support and uphold the weak, but it doesn't mean that we take the law in our own hands and resort to violence. Folks, to go to the abortion doctor and seek to take his life is wrong. It's murder. Two wrongs, I've always been told, never make a right. Our weapons, Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is he saying? We have strong, mighty weapons in God. But it has to do with our reasoning, casting down these arguments, sharing the word of God, the truth of when life begins and the value of human life, its sanctity. And we need to seek to lead others to a proper understanding of what is right and true and take a stand on these things and defend the helpless. As citizens, saints, we need to pray for our leaders that they will establish laws in accordance with the word of God. We need to elect those who respect God's word on such issues that have at their heart a love and a respect for the sanctity of life. We need to remember that sin is a reproach to any nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need to help the helpless. But secondly, we need to help the victims. We're compelled by God, as we have opportunity, to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And how does that What does that look like? Is helping the victims? We need to let mothers and the unborn, we need to let them know that there are viable alternatives to abortion. We need to let them know that there are people who will gladly take their babies if they cannot care for them. And I know many in this room that certainly would. We need to reach out and help those victims who are considering such means to let them know that there are choices, different choices that they can make. But folks, we even need to reach out to those women who have had abortions, helping them recognize that even they can be forgiven, and helping them through the immense difficulty of coping with this choice that they've made. They need to know, just as all sinners need to know, there is forgiveness in Christ. As individuals and as a society, we should support alternatives to abortion and help its victims. Yes, including those who have had abortions. I want to go back to the young couple of which I spoke at the beginning. Engaged to be married, they discovered that she was expecting. I want to identify that couple. The young woman's name was Mary. She was engaged, or what the Bible calls betrothed, to Joseph. The scripture says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. If abortion is not wrong, Mary would have been within her moral and spiritual rights to abort the baby Jesus. But someone would say, but that's different. God had a special plan for the child. Folks, the Bible teaches God has special plans for every human being. Every single human life is precious to God. So much that God sacrificed his son for every single human being on an individual basis. Each human life is valuable to God. In fact, God wants each and every one of us to know that he wants each and every person to be his child. He's gone to tremendous lengths to make that possible through the gift of his son. May we recognize the sanctity of life and the gift of eternal life and salvation that comes from a God who loves us so much that not only did he create us with value as his special creation, but he wants his special creation to be recreated in Christ to become his child, to live with him eternally. Have you responded to that great love of God? It may be that from your study of the Scriptures, you recognize that we are lost in our sin. But that God loved us so much that he gave Jesus to die for us. And that through him, we can be saved from our sins and have the hope of eternal life. If you believe in Jesus and will place your faith and trust in him, if you'll turn from sin and repentance and confess his name before men, God has promised that when we're baptized into Christ, his blood, the blood of Jesus, will wash away our sins. We can become his children. Are you his child? Are you living faithfully as his child? If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?